Good morning. In our church, we have many athletes, and I'm not one of them, okay? I try many different things, and I think I lost any competition that I was part of. But we do have some good athletes in this church. And one of them, one of the good athletes that we have here, is my good friend, Michael Lander. Yeah, there he is. He rides his bicycle all over the world. Not like me. I just all go on the green line. That's it. But he runs fast and far. As a matter of fact, in September 23rd and 24th, Michael will run his bicycle from, I got to say this word right, Byhalia? It's a city here. Did I say right? Byhalia? You know what it is. Yeah, over there. From Byhalia to Oxford. Not England, though, right? Then we have to swim, but it's a bicycle ride. So from Byhalia to Oxford and come back. This is more than 150 miles. And this is not the first time that he's doing this, right, Michael? He has done this 12 times before. And as he do this, his friends make donation. They're giving donation to Michael. They're investing in Michael so that he can raise a total of $10,000. That's his goal. And when he finishes his race, he hopes to have raised all those that amount of money, $10,000. But instead of keeping this money to himself to buy a new TV or a new cell phone or a new bike, he's going to get all that money and he will donate to research on multiple sclerosis and to those who are affected by it today. The money will go to the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, not only for research, but really to help those people right now that are suffering from this kind of disease. Why am I telling you this story? Well, because Peter is saying that Jesus did something similar to this. Something similar happened to Christ. He ran the race of this life. He suffered. He died and rose again. As a price, he is now exalted at the right hand of God. And the Bible also said in this passage that we just read that God gave him the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus do with all this price? Well, for 40 days, he enjoyed this celebration, this welcoming back party that was happening in heaven when he came back to heaven with the Holy Spirit. But then, the Bible also said in verse 33 that Jesus decided to give back to us the prize that he received. Acts chapter 2, verse 33 says that Jesus... 33, he gave back the Holy Spirit. He poured out the Holy Spirit on us. And this was the day of Pentecost. We talked about last Sunday and the Sunday before. How do we know that he gave the Spirit back to us? Well, the Bible said, because this could be seen and heard. There it is. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. We know that the Holy Spirit was given back to us because we could see and we could hear that. We could see because there were sound and praises and different languages in the day of Pentecost. We know because people could see what looked like tongues of fire that were divided among those who were there. In other words, it has been proved that the Holy Spirit came back to us. These two signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit were not just for the people who were there. These two signs of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit were not just for the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. Later on in this sermon that Peter preached, he said that the gift was promised for you and your children. Verse 39. The gift of the Spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now, we can assure that the same Spirit also produced in us and out of us signs that can be seen and heard even today. The signs were heard and seen at that time. They can be heard and seen even today. Signs that show that God's big story continue in our days. We have signs that show that God wants to use us and make His story to reach out to us and reach out to the whole world. The Bible reaffirms that the Spirit can be seen and heard in us and through us through two different signs. And today I'll be talking about those two signs, ways we can perceive, we can realize that the Holy Spirit is alive and well and active in our midst, in our lives as well. The first sign is what the Bible talks about and uses the word the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is interesting that the Saint Peter later on will confirm that the gifts that are now can be, these gifts can now be seen and heard. Once you become a Christian, you receive what the Bible called the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift is what makes you a Christian. But along with the gift comes the gifts, plural. And these gifts can be seen and heard today just as they were in the day of Pentecost. The passage that we was read in 1 Peter, it says that each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. We can use that. What is a gift of the Spirit? What are the gifts of the Spirit? One thing that I almost has been very interesting for me, there is a verse in the Bible that describes what happened to Jesus. Everything that Jesus was able to accomplish when He was on this earth was because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon Him. But then Jesus said, well, I will go up to heaven. I'll go to be with my Father. But you will continue. In John chapter 14, verse 12, He says, very truly I'll tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Isn't that interesting that we can do more than Jesus did? How do you interpret that? How do you understand that? How can I do more things than Jesus did? Greater things even. Well, the first thing I need to remember is that the same Spirit that allowed Jesus to do the thing that He did is available for us today. So it is the same Spirit. So Jesus had the Spirit and He did all of that. Now Jesus put out His Spirit in me, Richard, Denise, Jim, Pinky, everybody else. So can you imagine How many people more having the same spirit? And we're just talking about Cordova, Tennessee. What about Nashville, Memphis, Porto Alegre, São Paulo, and the whole world? We're talking about 2017. What about the future or the past? So we are doing more and more things than even than Jesus did because of the Holy Spirit was poured out into our lives. The way the Spirit does things today is by giving us the so-called gifts of the Spirit. What are the gifts of the Spirit? I would say they are divine enablements, special capacities that we receive, talents given by God, so that you can be good at something to your church, to your community. Things that were given to God. Maybe you have studied the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, in several occasions throughout your life. But today, I just want to refer to five things we need to know about the Holy Spirit. Five basic things we need to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. First of all, do not confuse spiritual gift with talent. Talent, we're born with talent, and we can even develop different talents throughout our lives. But the gift of the Holy Spirit is something given as a present to us. Do not confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts are several. We may have more than one. But the fruit is a character. Gifts talked about capacity. Fruit refers to character. Third thing, do not confuse gift with function or even with role that you perform. There are things that we can perform even though we may not have the gift to do it. So you're driving around the road here, and then on the stoplight there's somebody there asking for money. The person will come to you and say, "Hey sir, can you spare some change?" And then we'll say, "I wish I could help you, but since I don't have the gift of contribution, I cannot give anything to you." We don't say that, right? Or you shouldn't say that. Don't use this as an excuse. We do things that some people with a spiritual gift do, but we can also do. So don't confuse gift with function, with role, or things that we can do in this world. And finally, do not confuse spiritual gift with false gift. Yes, yes, because the Bible says, Matthew chapter 7, 22 to 23, that we can fake some of these spiritual gifts. We can deceive people with our so-called spiritual gifts when we don't have them, or when we want to use them for different reasons, different motives. So that's the first thing. Don't confuse spiritual gifts with other things. A second thing we need to think about is what are the gifts? After all, how many gifts do we have? How many gifts are available to us? Well, the Bible actually gives a list of several gifts. Maybe 20 gifts. You can even find more than 20 spiritual gifts in the Bible. There is no a single passage in the Bible that lists all of the gifts. You cannot find one chapter that will list all the gifts. And there are gifts that appear in more than one passages of Scripture, and some gifts that they will find in only one place in the Bible. But I found very interesting the way Peter writes, when he writes about the gifts in the passage that was read, chapter 4, he kind of lists the spiritual gifts in two groups. One, he says, if anyone speaks, in other words, there are gifts that God gives us, that they are connected to words, to speaking, to talking. Gift of being a pastor, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy, the gift of tongues or language, the ability to interpret the language, teaching, exhortation, apostleship, master, evangelism, intercession, revelation. These are gifts that the Bible presents They are related to our words. And also Peter says there are some gifts. He says, if anyone serves, so there are gifts that are more, I use the word hands, or the image of hands, like works of miracle, discernment of spirits, the gift of help, the gift to preside, the gift of contribution, the gift of mercy, faith, the gift of celibacy. Yes, the Bible mentioned this is a gift. The gift of marriage, the gift of hospitality, and the gift of service, the gift of martyrdom. They're all in the Bible. So there are two different categories of gift, and they're all important. So what I have to say is that even though we don't have a complete list in one particular passage, there are several gifts. And I would say even more than that. I believe that this list is representative. It's not exhaustive. In other words, my friends, I believe that the Holy Spirit, even today, He can give new gifts. Who am I to say, Holy Spirit, this is enough? Holy Spirit, enough, enough. Too many gifts. I can't even remember them by heart, so that's enough. Well, if there is a different need, the Holy Spirit can give a different gift. There was not much technology at that time when the Bible was written. Maybe the Holy Spirit can give gifts related to technology to be used for God's glory even today. Why not? He is free to do that. Third thing we need to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that it is His choice, not ours. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Every one of us, we receive a gift. When you repent of your sin, when you repent of the life that you live without God, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and along with that, you receive a gift. So every one of you, each one of you, you have at least one spiritual gift. Turn around. Look to the person that is sitting by you. That person has a gift. And you have a gift. And the gift that you have maybe is given to help that person that is sitting right beside you. Or that person has a gift that God will use to bless you. But this is the thing. You receive a gift. At least one. At least one. Probably more than that. But it is God's choice, not ours. He may take into consideration your story, your past, your talents to give gift. Or God may really say, well, I don't care about your story, about your past. I want to give you something totally different. And then He gives us a gift for us to use in His kingdom and for His purposes, to edify the church and to give glory to God. And then another question that we often ask is, how can I discover my gift? It looks like, Jerson, but how can I know which is my gift? Which is the gift that God gave me? Before I say how to discover a gift, I have to admit that sometimes we have difficulties to understand or discover our gift for some reasons. If you still have issues with God, it's going to be hard for you to discover which gift you have. If you haven't made peace with God, if you don't take risks, it's going to be hard to discover your gift. If you are trying to imitate somebody else, it's going to be hard for you to discover your gift. If you just want to be like somebody else who has a special gift that you admire. And if the Bible would say that if you're living in the flesh, you're not going to discover your gift. It's going to be harder for you. Having said that, how can I discover which spiritual gift I have? First of all, get familiar with the biblical passages that talked about spiritual gifts. That's the first step. And I'll promise, and Richard will remind me, tomorrow I'm going to put on our Facebook page several passages that talked about the spiritual gifts, okay? And if you want, I can even give this sermon. But wait until the end of the sermon to see if it's worth it to download, okay? But I can download over there the message for you to explore. But get familiar with the biblical teaching on the spiritual gifts. Try to know who they are, what they're for, and what we can do with those gifts. Second thing, explore. Try them out. Allow your Sunday school class, or your committee, or the meetings that we have here as a way to experiment. Consider this church as a laboratory for you to try out some of those gifts. See if you have them or not. If you want to teach my Sunday school class, you're welcome to do that. You can try. And the people will be there listening to you and talking to you, and they'll be able to say at the end, wow, it seems like you got something, right? Or maybe you should try something else. This is a laboratory, and we'll be very kind with you because we all want to help you to discover your spiritual gifts. So try it out. I remember I was 14 years old. Some months ago, I mean, right? I was 14 years old. And then I was asked to be a vice teacher of a Sunday school class for kids. The kids were like maybe 3 years younger than me, and I was asked just to be there. So I was there, and I observed the teacher, how she taught the class. And then she said, well, next Sunday, Jefferson, it's your turn. Wow, first time. So I went there, and I taught Sunday school class for 7, 8, 9 years old kids. And I started, and I never stopped. 4 years ago, and I'm still doing almost every Sunday. Because I realized that God gave me a gift. And I want to use. And I'm happy with that. I want to give glory to God. I'm not perfect. But I want to give glory to the gift that He gave me. But you will say, well, yeah, if I ask, what about your spiritual gift? Be ready. I may ask you, okay? Next Sunday or Sunday after that. And maybe some of you will say, well, yes, I did. I know that I received a spiritual gift. And I tried to use this once in 1995. It didn't fly very well. And now I, you know, just let others use their gifts. Man, this is so sad. This is so sad. If you receive a gift, or if you want to find out which gift you have, try. If you don't succeed the first attempt, what do you do? What if Michael Jordan failed the first time he tried to shoot a basketball? He tried again and again and again. But if you try again and again and you fail all the time, maybe you should try soccer or something else. But at least you try more than once. Oh, but I tried to use my gift. And I was part of a committee. And I was trying to use my gift in that committee. But those folks in my committee, they were ugly. They were terrible. They didn't support me, and I gave up. How sad. How sad. Besides missing the joy of serving, besides missing the joy of finding meaning in your life, you are being disobedient to God because He gave you talent to be used in His kingdom, not to bury your talent. I have to say this, my friends. With all the love that I can have for you, we do not have the option of not using our gift. We as a Christians, if you sign up to be a Christian, we don't have the option of not serving. It's part of the deal. It's part of the joy of being Christian is to be able to serve. And it is best when we serve out of the gift that we have. Third thing I want to consider when we are trying to find out our gift. Evaluate your efficacy or your efficiency in using your gift. Do you see the Holy Spirit using you? I remember well. I was teaching at the seminary where Richard taught in Brazil. I was the academic dean. I was doing my job teaching and organizing classes and so forth. And then the principal or the director of the president of the seminary, he was asked to take another job someplace else. and I became the interim president of the seminary. And one thing that I noticed is that the former president, he would do all the accounting of the seminary. He would have his laptop, his computer, and he would, you know, put all the expenses and the bills and everything. He would do on his computer, and everything was fine. So he got rid of the accountant. So when I became the interim president, I said, you know, I can do that as well. I know how to use computer. I know a little bit of Excel. Right, Guilherme? Excel? He's expert in Excel. Yeah, I'm not. Well, I thought I could do that. So I started, you know, besides teaching, I was dealing with numbers and math and bills and things like that. Well, after a while, the board of the seminary, they came over and said, Gerson, please, why don't you go back to teaching? Because the accounting of the seminary is such a mess. We have to hire a new accountant because they can hardly understand what you did here. Well, I tried at least. I tried. This was not my gift. I am not good at numbers. Right? Well, but this is fine. At least I know which gift I don't have. Four. I would say fourth, evaluate. Wait for the confirmation of the body of Christ. Have you ever asked somebody else, which gift do you think I have? Jerry, one of our Sunday school classes teacher here, was teaching a class on spiritual gift. And he told me that there was a lady in his Sunday school class, a precious lady. And she said to the group, I don't think I have a spiritual gift. And then as a wise teacher, as Jerry is, he asked the class, folks, which gift do you think this lady here has? And they were like a choir, anonymous. Everybody saying at the same time the gift that this lady had. Everybody knew, was evident to the whole class that this lady had that particular gift. But she was not aware of that. So wait, the body of Christ, the church will confirm which gift do you have. Wait for the confirmation of the body of Christ. And now a special word for the staff of this church. You don't need to listen to this, okay? It is our task. It is our task to allow these people with this gift to use this gift into God's kingdom. It is our task. God will ask Gerson, what have you do? What have you done to allow and to promote that the members of your church were able to use their spiritual gifts? So we've got to work better and harder on that. We need to deploy you into ministry. It is such a blessing to be able to use a spiritual gift. I remember a man called Telmo Camargo, from my church in Brazil. Telmo was a policeman. He was the head of the police in a little town near Novo Hamburgo, where I lived. And besides being a policeman, he was a volunteer at a home for children that our church had. He was a volunteer. He would go there and help, having fun with the kids. And he became the supervisor of all the volunteers that were working in that children's home. When Telmo retired, he was asked to be the director of this organization. A policeman? A director? Of their children's home. My friends, God gave him the gift of leadership. God gave him the gift of exhortation to have 90 kids. They were, you know, some of their parents were killed in front of them and stories like that. He was the director. And God gave Telmo the gift of mercy. I would never be able to do that. I would never be able to have that kind of job, to lead, to be the director of a children's home with 90 kids. But Telmo is doing this for many years. He is called in the middle of the night to go there and solve some issues. His weekend, he is always available. And if you want to see somebody passionate about something that he or she does, you should need to tell me. He received a gift. What a joy to serve. My friends, you can even help, and perhaps even you can serve as a volunteer or support some of these kids that are there. Chain of Love is the organization in Campo Bom in Brazil. But here's somebody. He was a policeman, and now he's taking care of these kids with such a joy because that was his gift. My friends, I want to say also this. Serve, even if you're not sure if you have the gift or not. The discovery of a gift or lack of discovering a gift cannot be the only factor to determine how and where I will carry out my ministry in the kingdom of God. Well, until I realize which gift I have, I'm going to be just waiting for God to show up and tell me which gift I have. Don't do that. Even if you don't know, serve. Are you passionate about something? Serve. Does your personality lead you to do some things? Do it. For God's glory. For God's glory. And if you have the spiritual gift, combining passion and personality, man, you're going to fly. And it's going to be a blessing for you, for the church, for the world. I mentioned that we have two signs today that we can know that we have the Holy Spirit. One is the spiritual gifts. But I have to tell you about the second one. There's a second sign that shows that God is active in the world and uses us, is what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. My friends, I know it's very hard to talk about fruit when lunch is approaching, right? But I have to tell you about the fruit of the Spirit. And you're going to be very hungry to go home and eat a lot of fruit. Well, the Bible mentioned the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The passage that we read before in Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23, talks about the fruit and the many characteristics of this fruit. The fruit, my friends, is the manifestation of the character of Christ in us. This is the fruit of the Spirit. The manifestation of Jesus' character in our lives. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus makes a revolution inside of us to make us more like Him. And the result of this revolution, the Bible calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the thing is that some people may have, we may have the gift, but not the fruit. Do you understand that? We do have a gift of the Holy Spirit, but we may not have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How come? When I was in my hometown, there's a church in the city, not my church, another church, they decided to hire a pastor. This guy moved to another state, to our city, and he had the gift of evangelism. And he was doing something great with evangelism. New people were coming to church. He was reaching out youth people, younger generation. He was, on fire. But then something happened. He was fired. And the last thing I heard about this guy, he was a drug trafficker. He was a drug dealer and ended up being killed by the police. He had the gift. Gifts. But didn't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Four quick teachings about the fruit of the Holy Spirit before you go home and eat your fruit at your house. First thing we need to know. Fruit comes from the Spirit. The character, being like Christ, is not your personality. It's not because you're socially conditioned to behave in a certain way. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the main difference. For example, there are folks that are very kind, very diplomatic. And you may say, well, this person has the gift of peace or self-control. Maybe this guy was very short and skinny when he was a kid. Instead of being able to fight with the bullies at school, he decided to be nice as a way of surviving. He decided to please everybody, avoid confrontation. And now he doesn't fight with anybody. Well, he doesn't have the gift of peace. He just found a way to survive. Because if he had peace as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, he would also have initiative and courage that comes along with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me you cannot do anything. Without Jesus we cannot be like Jesus. Second thing, the Bible says that the fruit is only one. The fruit is a singular thing. The fruit of the Spirit is not divided among believers like the gifts. Well, John will be a very loving person. Mary doesn't need to be that. As long as she is joyful, that's fine. She doesn't need to love anybody. Peter, he will have peace. But he doesn't need to have self-control. It doesn't work that way. It comes as one thing. It is a character that God is creating and developing in us. The whole fruit is a natural result of a life guided by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you got to see, is there anything missing in my life? Is there any aspect of the Spirit that is missing in my life? I have to work on that. Because, the third thing, the fruit does not come at once. It has to grow inside of us. I want to jump for the fourth. There are factors that contribute for the gift or for the fruit to come and grow. Why is it that some Christians are so gentle? Why is it that some Christians are so gentle, so self-controlled, so loving, so happy, while other Christians, not really? How come some have perseverance but don't have joy? They need to grow. There are two things that produce growth. One, we need to be near the source of nourishment. How much nourishment do we receive every day from God? And the second thing that will help to contribute and bring the fruit inside of us. John says that we need to remain in the tree. If we move away from Christ, we're not going to present the fruit of the Holy Spirit. My friends, to conclude, to finish, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Why is Jesus saying this? Why is it that perhaps your prayers are not being answered? Why is it that you ask, and you don't receive? Maybe it's time for you to develop the fruit. Help the Spirit develop the fruit inside of you. You were chosen to bear fruit. You can have flavor in your life. You know the best way to add flavor into your life? Being fruitful. Serve with your gifts and bear the fruit. José Luis Ribeiro, he is the manager of a bank in Brazil. He is a Christian, a good friend of ours. He works hard in the bank. But once a week after he finishes his work at the bank, he goes to the church and he is the treasurer of the church. Worked very hard at the church as well. And you say, well, he's just using his talent, his ability in the church. Yes, could be. But every Tuesday, José Luis has a small group in his home. For more than 20 years, he received his neighbors in his house to do a Bible study. Some of his neighbors, they have never come to the church, to our church. They were never baptized. But they keep coming every Tuesday because José Luis, the manager of Banco do Uruguai, he is their pastor. He pastors them. When they have a trouble or a need, they know that they can call José Luis because he's going to be there for them. What a joy. What a joyful person he is. And like José Luis, there are so many around the world. People that decided to say, God, I want flavor in my life. I want joy in my life. I want to make a difference in this world. I want to make a difference in my family. Here I am. Help me to find out which gifts you gave me. And help me to produce the fruit so that the world may be hear and see that you are alive, active, and well in this world. Let us pray. Dear Father, as we think about these things, as we think about the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for each one of us, for me, for every person sitting in this audience right now, for everyone who will be listening to this message in the future, my prayer is that they will receive the joy, the happiness, the blessing of serving you. Perhaps, Lord, there are people sitting right here today that in the past tried to serve, but got frustrated by circumstances. Perhaps words that were not well spoken. Perhaps experiences that were not successful according to their own judgment. And they gave up. And their only gift right now is just to sit down and listen. Oh Lord, have mercy on them. Have mercy on us. Give us back the joy of serving you. Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask you that you will give and select the best gifts to give to each one of us in this congregation. And may we as a congregation, Lord, may we as your people serve you with gladness, giving glory to you and enjoying ourselves in our fellowship by the way we serve you. May this blessing be experienced by each person right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.